This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
The Buffalo Bills have not lost three games in a row with Josh Allen as their quarterback. Monday night, they travel to the Meadowlands. They're taking on the New York Jets. The New York Jets, who've just moved on from their head coach, Robert Saleh, and are making all kinds of changes. You would expect that those changes would take effect and have an impact on Monday night's game. To break it all down and to preview Monday night's matchup, we welcome in 13 Wham Sports and BuffaloPlus.com's Dan Fates for his Thursday afternoon visit here in the sports bar. Fatesy, good to have you on with us. We could talk a little bit about how that game ended on Sunday, that second loss in a row to the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans, a game that was certainly within reach, but I think the storyline that's kind of consumed everything this week in preparation for Monday are these injuries and some of these significant injuries that just popped up this week. So what do we know about the health of Khalil Shakir, James Cook, Ed Oliver, and others?
Shakir seems to be trending in the right direction. I'll use one of Sean McDermott's phrases. Got to see him yesterday kind of running. He always kind of runs. We joked around about him at training camp that MVS called him a wine bottle opener because it takes him a little while to actually get going. So it's hard to analyze his gait or stride working off the side of practice, but was doing a lot of agility drills, was working on releases, things like that. My money is that Shakir's in. My money is that Curtis Samuel's probably in. James Cook seems like a game time decision. And Ed Oliver, I would imagine, would be out again this week. While Taron was out of a red dot contract jersey this week or today on Thursday. So I'm guessing Taron's back as well.
Dan, how does this Bills offense look without...
Hey, Gene.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Oh, see that?
Wow.
Gino, you see, he's a new man. He is. This isn't the Gene Battaglia that I've worked with here for the last, 8 years now? This is a new Gene Battaglia.
No, I've come in humble and hungry this postseason.
You're no longer Eugene Battaglia, you're new Gene Battaglia.
I wasn't going to congratulate you because I figured that's how we would start this talk. So when you didn't, I give you credit and I will congratulate you.
Well, that's on me. He probably would have started it by talking about the Mets. No, I'm sorry. Eugene Battaglia would have done it. New Gene Battaglia would never.
No, I didn't. I didn't open up the show by saying, "Where's Mr. Mouth Fates? Where's Mr. Mouth Kettle?" I don't know if you ever heard that clip, but
no,
that was not a that was not that not a good year for the Mets. Dan, you
anyway
keep,
the
you,
Bills?
Yeah, the Bills. The injuries. James Cook. We were asking about. I haven't seen enough out of Davis and maybe Ty Johnson, but if you take Cook out of the equation against this Jets defense, which, quite frankly, I think you could run against here, Dan.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm more confident in Ty Johnson and Ray Davis behind James Cook than I am anybody behind Khalil Shakir.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's like, hey, you need Shakir or Cook to play, I need Shakir to play. That's just part of the way that I look at it because I've always kind of liked Ty Johnson, and he's had moments where he's, I think he had an 18-yard run against the Texans. So I don't think the drop-off behind Cook is as big as the drop-off is behind Shakir and everybody else. So if you think you can run the ball on the Jets, I think you can do it with Ty Johnson. I think you can do it with Ray Davis. it'd be nice to have Cook because I think he does provide a little bit more all-around game, but I think you could piece it together if you needed to more than we've seen what the Bills' offense is without Khalil Shakir, and I don't really want to see that again.
So let's talk a little bit about the absence of Shakir because I think it came into full focus against the Texans, and there's been plenty of documentation this week as people break down the film as to why the offense for the Bills was sputtering the last couple of weeks. I mean, one is that Baltimore's defense is pretty physical, but the bigger thing that is in control of the Buffalo Bills is where these plays are occurring, and you're seeing more throws outside the numbers by Josh Allen, these low percentage throws downfield and outside the numbers, throws that he would make routinely when he had Diggs and Davis in the lineup, and throws that frankly aren't being completed with more regularity now with a drop off in talent. Therefore, the meat for this offense where they make hay is between the numbers, where of course Khalil Shakir thrives as well, but also the usage of your tight ends. And I know that the lack of usage of Dawson Knox specifically and Dalton Kincaid to a degree has been a big topic of conversation this week as well.
Yeah, it's been a perfect mess of crappy chicken noodle soup. This is where we're at. And, Joe Brady deserves blame. Josh Allen deserves blame. He wasn't good. I know it is tough to put any blame on Josh Allen. Fans just don't want to hear it. But Josh hasn't been sharp either. And when he says that, it's not just words. Even his bubble screens to Curtis Samuel, they're behind him. It's just not good enough. Josh hasn't been good enough the last 2 weeks. Are there factors to that? Yeah, there's reasons and not necessarily excuses. Do I have any lack of confidence in Josh? No, but if you were somebody like myself that had concerns about these wide receivers at training camp, and we talked, I think, after the preseason, heading into week one, and I was like, I don't know because we haven't seen it. Your concerns are amplified now. And some of that falls on Brandon Bean. And for somebody that we only get to talk to 5-6 times a year, it is concerning. The fact that you were one injury away to Khalil Shakir gets his ankle rolled up on, and now your offense can't have 150 yards passing and your quarterback is 30% completion. Those are big concerns that guys aren't winning. They're not winning their one-on-one. And sometimes it is X's and O's, guys, and coaches can scheme that up. Sometimes it's the Jimmys and the Joes, and the guys on the field have to make plays. And I don't know how I got so worked up in this, but, all of a sudden, has anybody been more disappointing this year than Dalton Kincaid? And, whether or not you thought the play should be challenged, which I disagree with those people, how about Dalton just catches the ball on the sidelines, and that keeps the drive going? Everybody was, it's fine, we don't need Diggs, we don't need number one wide receiver, we've got Dalton Kincaid, where is he? Those are things where it's everybody I feel is playing one level up than they're comfortable doing. And everybody is kind of wilting right now over these last 2 weeks, trying to get their head above water and find some rhythm. And so I think Shakir being back in the lineup will help. But teams are taking away Dalton Kincaid like he's their number one wide receiver. Stingley lined up across from Dalton Kincaid. That goes to show you the respect, the little amount of respect that the Houston Texans had for the Bills wide receivers. Stingley, Kyle Hamilton can take out Dalton Kincaid. These are guys that there's no fear right now from opposing defensive coordinators we can't let this guy beat us. We can't let this wide receiver beat us because it's just not going to happen on a consistent basis. So the wide receiver play needs to be better. I don't believe that's going to be a trade deadline move, guys, but it has to be a little bit easier. By Joe Brady has to make it better. Josh has got to be better, and the wide receivers have to be better.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Dan Fates, 13 Wham, Buffalo Plus. Dan, as we're talking, the Bills have put out their injury report. 16 players are listed on this. Now, many of them are full. Did not practice today, Shakir, Ed Oliver, also James Cook, limited, Mac Hollins with a shoulder, Taron Johnson limited, Austin Johnson limited. Listed on the injury report, Josh Allen, left hand slash ankle? Okay, I didn't know anything about an ankle. He's a full participant. What I want to ask you about Josh Allen, when he banged his head off the turf, Dan, I'm like, well, okay, we move on now to the Jet game, and there he is coming back in some 6 minutes later. Are the Bills actually doing their franchise quarterback a disservice by rushing him back in there? I find it hard to believe that any neurologist could just say, nah, you're fine there in that short amount of time.
So where I congratulated you, Gene, like I couldn't – how do I say it? I've been asked by multiple people. I was just doing a podcast, and somebody asked, like, do you think Josh has a head injury?
No, it's fine. You could disagree with a take here. You could be like, no. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just that's a little – like, you know, players are like, that's over my pay grade. Like, I'm not saying the NFL hasn't fumbled head injuries, and it would be an hour-long discussion about how they don't really care about player safety, and I agree with all those things. But I was there in Baltimore where Connor McGovern was checked out for a head injury. He stayed on the field. The ref, they had a buzz down from the tower to get McGovern checked out, goes into the tunnel or the blue tent, comes back on the field. They buzz him out again during a commercial break, and he has to get checked out again. So I would like to think that the NFL has learned from their head injuries from Tua Tagovailoa and all that he's gone through. And I just don't think that they're trying to cover this up. And I know there's a bunch of conspiracies and on social media, look at how hard he hit his head and look at this. And oh no, he's got smelling salts. I'll tell you this. Josh goes through about 15 smelling salts a game because he goes out there before every single drive. If you walk on an NFL field after a game, there's probably 100 smelling salts all over the field. Like, that wasn't a sign of his concussion. And if he claims that it was a chest injury, maybe that's a smart way of saying look here and not look there, but I don't think the Bills are doing any disservice. And the fact that if there was anything more than that, I mean, he went in the blue injury tent with the independent neurologist. He went in with the guy with the red hat. And he went to go back out. Jenna was on the field. She told me, like, and she talked about it on the Buffalo Plus channel, like, he went to go out. They stopped him, made him go back in, and then he got clear. So the from the time that he went in, like, he did spend, like, 5 minutes in the blue injury tent. So this wasn't like they didn't even check him. He was checked. And so I guess sometimes I feel like people are grasping for straws at why Josh isn't playing well, when it can just be Josh isn't playing well, the receivers aren't good, Joe Brady's kind of gotten away from what he does well over these last 2 weeks, and it's been a perfect cocktail, and fans are trying to say, we must be have a concussion because he only completed 30% of his passes, when I think there's more.
No. I mean, that's a second from last drive, Dan. I mean, like, it wasn't, you know, and gosh, that last sequence. Let's kind of like, I mean, where we haven't even touched on that. Monday, the world was on fire there, but you can blame McDermott, and he accepted the blame. You can certainly blame Joe Brady, but I mean,
why
Josh
can't we blame
Allen,
Josh, too?
Josh taking deep shots there is, you got to call him into question.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't hate the play calling. I hated Josh's decision. And in that spot, and whether that's, I mean, I would like to think that was communicated, every yard there was crucial. Every single yard. Because 5 yards there pushes them back 5 more yards for the punt. So it's a 10 yard swing. So on the second down throw to Mac Hollins, Josh just seemed to focus on Mac. That was the shot that he was going to take. It's a low percentage throw. There were two guys underneath, Kincaid and Cook, I think, like that could have gained yards. And so You can tell Josh, like, we got to be smart here. We're going to be aggressive. Like, I think Sean McDermott was damned if he does. He's damned if he doesn't. He's roasted in the postgame press conference of, you took the ball out of 17th hands. Why not try to get a play? Like, they did it in Detroit, and he threw that great ball over the middle to Stephon Diggs, and it set up Tyler Bass for a great field goal 2 years ago. Like, this Sean is overly conservative. People crucify him for it. Yeah. And then when he does it, it's, what an idiot. It's like, I always end up feeling like I'm a Sean McDermott apologist sometimes, but it's like the results sucked. So now we're all looking back at it going, what an idiot. But because they had the 3 timeouts, as Sean explained, because they have a good field goal kicker, I think they were damned if they do, they damned if they don't. I think they put the ball in Josh's hands and said, hey, we need a first down. Be special. That's happens sometimes. That works sometimes. This time it didn't.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about the Bills at the trade deadline. You don't think that they will be getting a wide receiver here at the trade deadline, but we hear these reports that Davante Adams is being monitored by the Buffalo Bills, that they're kind of monitoring the situation, whatever that means. And I always go back to, like, all right, who's putting that out there and why are they putting that out there? That's probably not coming from the Bills. So what about Adams? What about the move to get a wide receiver, a difference maker, somebody that can elevate that receiver room from where they are right now and make you a little bit more than one-dimensional with just Khalil Shakir being the difference maker right now?
Yeah, look, I would love Davante Adams. I think he would make everybody around him better. I think he knocks everybody down a rung on the ladder to where they're more comfortable. And I think he is a gravitational player, even at his age, that defenses would have to say, hey, can't let Davante Adams beat us today. All right, we got to take him out, which would open up things for Kincaid. It would open up things for Shakir. It's what Stephon Diggs still did at the end of the season, even though his stats were not impressive. You still had to worry about a guy, and everybody else got to feast underneath and around Stephon Diggs. That being said, I know the trade deadline's coming up in, was it 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if Brandon Bean is ready to pull the plug and Control-Alt-Delete his plan that he had all offseason of building this team as everybody eats and all of these things. I don't know if he just all of a sudden slams the screw it button, we're going to go for it. That's just my impression of you had all offseason to add a guy, whether it was Davante Adams, other guys around, signing a free agent, they didn't. They felt content with this is what we got, this is what we're going to go with, and we're going to make it work. And I don't think because of two losses, they all of a sudden pull out the panic button and say, screw it, let's go get the guy. Could they get somebody maybe lesser? I've heard Deontay Johnson from Carolina. Sure, but I just don't see that being the case of Brandon Bean pretty much saying, you know, when he said hey, it's a transition year, the cap, all these things, which I don't believe in, all of a sudden reversing course and going, yeah, this didn't work. We tried it for 5 weeks, and now we're going to go and spend money. That just doesn't seem to be a Brandon Bean way of veering off the course that they had set at the beginning of the season.
Well, let's talk about a team that did veer off the course. The opponent. My goodness, yeah. Dan. The surprise around the National Football League. Robert Saleh let go here. And I'm trying to figure out, because normally we get an instance like this. It's a team that's down and out, and they get a little bit of a bump because, what, they're professionals. Heck, just look at the Chargers last year. They lose by, what, 70 to the Raiders or whatever it was, and the next week they give the Bills a game. This feels different. This is actually a Jet team that's trying to save their season. This is like an NBA or NHL firing or a baseball firing. You don't normally see this. What kind of Jets team do we expect here Monday night?
I think they'll definitely be a little fired up. We talked to Spencer Brown about it yesterday and things like that. But I feel like there is a little bit of this myth of, like, interim coaches come in, the team wins the following week. I was just looking up for my bets. Like, 23 coaches have been fired in the middle of the season since 2000. And the teams are, like, 15 and 18 the following week straight up. Like, it seems to be like this. Oh, they bring in the interim guy. They all go rah-rah. And then they win. And this is the earliest somebody's been fired in a few years, but 11 coaches have been fired by week five. And those teams the following week are like 6-5. Coaches get fired because teams stink. Like, they don't all of a sudden get brand new players and brand new schemes, and all of a sudden they miraculously play better. That's just very rare. So while I expect this to be a team that has a little bit more juice, like we saw the Chargers, ultimately, the Bills won that game because the Chargers just weren't a good football team. So I don't think the firing of Robert Saleh makes the Jets' pass defense and passing line, their offensive line, pass block better. I don't think it makes them run block better. Yeah. They're just not very well constructed there, and I don't think their offense really changes because whoever's calling plays, and if it's Todd Downing, I was just talking to somebody, and they're going, "Oh, do you think he could throw in, you know, new wrinkles and things like that?" I go, I think Aaron Rodgers calls the offense, and I don't think that's going to change at all. I don't think Todd Downing's going to slam his fist on the table in front of Aaron Rodgers and say, now you listen to me. We're going to run this. Aaron Rodgers is going to say, we're going to do whatever I want. And there's been 20-something years of the tape of what Aaron Rodgers' offense is. Bills have faced it before. I think they're going to know what to expect. It's a matter of going out and stopping it. But I'm not buying into this whole total boost because they fired Robert Saleh. I think this locker room's a mess. I think that Robert Saleh has fumbled the media circus, whether it was the unexcused absence, whether it was cadence talk, whether all these things. He didn't do himself any favors about the way he handled it. I think he stepped in it more than anything else. So maybe that goes away. But I think this Jets team is a flawed team right now. And the coach takes the fall for it. But I don't know how much firing him fixes things.
Yeah, I think Saleh's a bad football coach. I think he's a good defensive coordinator, bad NFL head coach. I think Aaron Rodgers, whether you want to believe it was through back channels or his play on the field, Aaron Rodgers got Robert Saleh fired. It was going to happen inevitably because he's not a good coach, but this just kind of sped up the process a little bit. Rodgers has been bad this season. He hasn't really played like we expect Aaron Rodgers to play. His teammates around him haven't been good. And I think when you talk about the locker room and this team, I think it is a dysfunctional organization, but I think the locker room itself is a bit of a mess because Rodgers has to be the smartest guy in the room. Rodgers isn't the guy that his teammates love. And when you see a guy during minicamp while everybody's working, going to Egypt and doing the things that he does, just being Aaron Rodgers, I have a hard time believing that his teammates want to rally around him and go out there and really, really play at a high level for him. He's not what Brett Favre was to the New York Jets when Favre was there, if we're drawing comparisons.
No, and I'll go a step farther, too. I've heard it from somebody that obviously the Jets seem to be the favorite to land Devonta Adams because of Aaron Rodgers. And from what I've heard, I'll say this. The Jets locker room would absolutely hate that because they are already so sick and tired of Aaron bringing his guys in. And so now they're going to trick. They have Garrett Wilson. Like, they're not. They have Garrett Wilson, they have Lazard, who's Rodgers' guy, who's solid, and they have Mike Williams. So now you're going to bring in another Aaron Rodgers guy because he really wants him? Like, apparently I've heard that the locker room would be even more pissed because it's Aaron getting his way, again, more than the team. Like, you have Garrett Wilson. Like, and Rodgers just doesn't like him because they're not buddies or they don't think the earth is flat. Like, I don't understand the concept of, like, Why do the Jets need Devonta Adams? They need offensive line. They need other things. They don't need Devonta Adams. But he seems to be the favorite because the Jets will outbid everybody and themselves to make Rodgers happy because he's the pseudo general manager, he's the pseudo offensive coordinator, and he's the pseudo spokesperson for the team.
I'm trying to picture what the New York Jets look like in 2025. We know they need a head coach. I'd have to think the GM they might be looking for too. And, well, if you get a new coach and a new GM, do they really want to have a 42-year-old quarterback who, by the way, has a $49 million cap hit? To me, Dan, even if the Jets win the game coming up Monday night, and they very well may, I mean, long-term, they're doomed here.
They've robbed Peter to pay Paul. Like, this is kind of what they've done. They've had this go all in. Aaron Rodgers is not a franchise quarterback. He is on the end of his career. He looks like he's on the end of his career. Now, granted, he could get, if the Bills defensive line doesn't get any pressure and Rodgers gets to sit back there and throw back shoulder balls to Lazard and Garrett Wilson, it could be a long day for the Bills. And the Jets could win because Josh has called MetLife a house of horrors for him and all of these things. Like, I'm not saying it, but you're right. In the long term, they are not built for success coming around for a team that, in an organization that has made the wrong move for the last 15-plus years.
Yeah, unbelievable. Dan, tell us about what you're working on this week here at BuffaloPlus.com that we can check out before kickoff on Monday night.
Yeah, we got podcast today, the live show at 7:15 on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel. Then Mike and I are heading down to New York. We'll have coverage, five players to watch on Sunday. We'll be at the game, pregame coverage as well, and social media, all that good stuff. Earlier this week, Mike talked to Janae Coakley. She's a reporter covering the Jets on SNY. I think there's a baseball team that plays on that network, too. Can't think of them. But, yeah, so tons of coverage. It doesn't stop.
You do realize the Mets and the Bills play on Monday night. Maybe even the Yankees, too.
Woohoo.
But I was going to invite you over, Dan.
I think Dan has absorbed some of that Eugene energy and needs a little bit more Nugene energy in his life. Yeah. I think that's what's going on here.
This sucks.
Dan, thanks for the time, buddy. Talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Go Braves.
Dan Fates. Got to go Braves in there before. Yeah. Dan Fates, 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. Stopping by and sharing some thoughts on Monday night.
I've taken my medicine for years and years and years. Maybe this is the end of the line for the Mets, but it's about exceeding expectation, right?
Yeah, you're satiated as a fan. Yeah. You didn't expect them to do what they're doing. They're doing it. Enjoy the ride while you have it.
They're having fun. The fan base is having fun. Even I see you starting to come around a little bit.
I laugh every time I see Grimace. Every time I see a fan dressed as Grimace or Grimace entering a subway train and everybody losing their minds, it makes me chuckle. It really does. I mean, like, it's the kind of thing that makes a fan base fun. It makes a team fun. We were joking about it. We made fun of it through the course of the season. We're like, really? It was Grimace. It was Grimace. That was the thing that turned the season around. And if that's what you want to latch on to, that's fun. It's fine.
You just leaned into it a little bit because it wasn't coming from Met fans. It was like, look at this team. By the way, the executive producer last night is like, are you really going to do that? I'm like, I said it on the air. I'd have to do it. Like, if the Mets win the World Series, I'm coming in dressed as Grimace.
If you do an entire show dressed as Grimace, I'm going to have a hard time not laughing through the entire show. I mean, it almost... Gino, if we want to get the YouTube numbers up, I mean, that has to happen. Win or lose, it has to happen.
Oh, yeah. Get your engagement.
If we want a little bit more engagement on the YouTube channel, more people watch the stream. If we got you dressed up as Grimace for an afternoon, that would be a lot of fun.
Come over to my house, kids, or trick or treat. Like, it's Grimace.
Well, you have to put the Mets hat on top, too.
Maybe I just
pin the Mets hat on top of Grimace's dome.
Do I drive around? Are you allowed to drive around in costume?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know about that. I want to keep you safe. Alex Brasky will be, Yankee fan, Alex Brasky will be stopping by from Bill's Digest, the Batavia Daily News, on the way here in about a half an hour or so. We'll also take more of your calls if you want to join us. 866-4FAN is the number. 585-866-4326. There's a quarterback in the NFL who is having a historically bad start to the season. There's rumblings and rumors of what his future might be with his team. And I'm here to say, I don't want anything to change. And I'll explain why.
There was one thing that Dan and I just agreed. I want to dial into it just a little bit more when it comes to to Josh Allen and his health here. We can explore that. And also, John Sterling, Bob Costas comparison.
Ooh.
If you're watching the Yankee game last night.
Now we're talking.
This wasn't a radio call.
Now we're talking.
Like yesterday in the sports bar, Jim Riley said basically, well, if you're 50 or older, you love Costas. And no, we made the age line me.
I pushed it up. 55.
55. Let's make it 55. Like, no. I'm not a Costas fan. I'm not. Well, here's the evidence, Mike Danger, that maybe the guy has lost it.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Costas is the new Sterling. We'll get to that here in a second. Alex Brasky, the Batavia Daily News, Bill's Digest, stopping by 425 as well. You're in the sports bar on the Fan, Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.